Well, I'm glad you're here for week two. I need a breakthrough. It's a series that we're in. And we've been looking at a specific point in the Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians, is kind of at a point of needing or seeing a breakthrough moment in his life. But he's pushing for the more that God has for him. Last week, we talked about, in that passage, Paul kind of pointed out to us that there is always more, that God is always calling us forward and hoping for more for us, but we also have to forget what's behind in order to push forward for the breakthroughs God has. I often feel like maybe we don't really believe that God actually has more for us. Maybe we don't actually think that that is true or wants more for us. It's kind of like last week I mentioned a Christmas movie, so this week I'll mention a Christmas movie because we're past Christmas. How many of you watched a Christmas Story at some time over Christmas? It's one of your favorite movies, right? It's a Red Ryder BB gun, like classic Christmas movie. Shoot your eye up, kid, right? That's the one. So there's two scenes in that movie. The first one, I think, is how we often think that God is. And that's the scene where Ralphie, after having seen this Red Ryder BB gun and really wanting it, goes to his house. You remember the scene? He's sitting at the table. His mom's washing dishes. And she just says, "What do you want for Christmas, Ralphie?" And I love the narrator, right? Because he speaks over and he's like, "I just blurted it out. I didn't even mean to." He's like, "I wanted to fish a Red Ryder carbon action tour shot range model air rifle." Right? And then he goes, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that," right? Because his mom says, "No, you're going to shoot your eye out. I'm not getting you an air rifle." I feel like that's often how we perceive, or at least frequently we perceive, what God might want for us. It's easy for us to think God's just out to smash whatever fun we think we might want to have. And he's going to come at us with a, "You're just going to poke your eye out, kid. I don't have more for you." But one of my favorite scenes in the movie, and I think one that reminds us a lot more of what God is like, is near the end of the movie. When Ralphie's sitting, and his family and the old man, all right, are sitting around the Christmas tree, and all the presents have been opened, and Ralphie's a little disappointed because he didn't get the gift that he wanted. Remember that scene? I'm just going to show it to you quickly. Ralphie's dad has more, right? And he knows it. He knows there's more, and he's just tickled. Like, you look at him, and he's so excited for his son to experience the more. I think that's a lot closer to the way God feels about us. Longing that we might experience and know and grow and step into more. And not just some material thing. I don't think God's hoping that you'll inherit a yacht tomorrow. I think he's hoping for more in our relationship with him. He's hoping for more for us in our families, in our marriages, in our careers and finances, in our character, in our attitude. Remember the passage we're going to read again, Philippians 3, 12 through 13, where Paul kind of describes that. He says, "Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul is straining forward for the more that God has for him. Last week I said we're going to spend a little more time today focusing on what did Paul mean when he said forgetting what is behind. That really there is much that falls into that category. Things which keep us from stepping forward into breakthroughs. Things we have to forget or put behind us if we're to go through all the breakthroughs God has. So I'm going to give you all four at the beginning. You can write them in your notes if you want. Four things. I'm sure there's more. We're going to talk about four today. First one is sin. Number one is sin. Number two is success. Success. Three, sorrow. And four, procrastination. Each of these are things we have to put behind us if we're going to experience the more God has for us. I think they fall into this category, and Paul says, forgetting what's behind. Because each of these things function essentially like chains that hold us back from experiencing all God would have for us, experiencing the breakthroughs that he has in the future. You know the story of how they train baby elephants? Have you heard that story before? Especially ones in like the circus to keep them from running away and killing everyone and trampling over cars. If you don't, this is how it goes. The baby elephant is born in the circus. It's trained from an early age to perform in the acts. After each performance, trainer takes the elephant outside and ties it by a chain or a rope around its ankle. Using a mallet, he hammers a stake into the ground to which he attaches the chain to stop the elephant from escaping. The baby elephant pulls and pulls, but he can't make the stake pull out of the ground, so he can't break free. This happens every day, after every performance. The elephant grows, but the trainer continues to use the same size chain, sometimes a rope. Eventually, the elephant reaches its full size, and still the trainer uses the same chain or rope. Over the years, the elephant has stopped trying to break free from the chain, no longer even bothering to try. It would appear so obvious that all the elephant has to do with its adult strength is pull once and it would be free, but the elephant has been conditioned to believe it can't break the chain, so it doesn't even try. It can't, and it won't, put old things behind it. There are things which chain us, like that baby elephant, from ever stepping forward into the things God has for us. And we have to start to put them behind us. So let's start with the first one, sin. In another of his letters, Paul specifically points to this idea as something we have to put behind us if we're going to continue to move forward. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. He says that as we pursue faith, as we pursue God, as we grow, he says we have to, his words, throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. Those are things that have to be put behind us if we're going to move forward into what God has for us. It's something Paul himself had to do. We can use Paul as an example in almost all of these things we're going to talk about today. You could say about Paul's life that Paul made a deal with God that God never made with Paul. Paul thought he'd made a deal with God, and God never made it with Paul. Look back at Paul's life. He's a young man in his 20s. He's already very, very committed spiritually. He's a very spiritually active, devoted person. He was focused and driven. He believes in God. But he makes this deal with God, essentially saying, I believe in you, but I'm going to reject Jesus and all of his teachings. In fact, I'm going to go further than that. I'm going to kill anyone who is accepting. So Paul essentially makes this deal with God. Now, that's a deal apart from the murdering that a lot of us like to make. A lot of people you know like to make. Yeah, I believe in God, but I don't accept Jesus or his teachings. But God never made that deal with Paul. So in his late 20s, Jesus reveals himself to Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. He's humming along. He's doing what he thinks he's supposed to be doing. And Jesus shows up. And he essentially says, you know who I am. I am God. I'm the one you've been persecuting. I'm the one whose teachings you've been denouncing, the one who you refuse to accept. And in that moment, Paul realizes his sin. That while he's believed in God, he has made a deal with God that God never made with him. Can you imagine, if you were Paul, what that moment felt like? Can you imagine what that moment felt like of being so committed to something you thought you had made an arrangement or a deal with God on, and then all of a sudden to find out that's not the case? As God himself speaks to you, we do this. We don't encounter Jesus on the road to Damascus, but we make deals with God. We say, God, I don't feel any angst. I don't feel like God's telling me this is wrong, so I'm just going to do it. When God all along has never made that deal with us. The key for Paul was he started agreeing with Jesus that what sin, what he calls sin, is sin. That what God's word said is right and wrong is actually right and wrong. If you're going to put sin behind or begin to put it behind you and leave it there and forget it, we have to acknowledge it and agree with God so it doesn't hold us back or chain us down. Paul really gets on this as he goes through his life. In Colossians chapter 3, if you want to go there, Paul says this about this issue. He says, put to death, that's like finally leave it behind, right? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other. put sin behind you. Because if you don't, you stall out. You stall out. You don't go through to the next breakthrough God has for you, because you're just like that little baby elephant. You get chained and stuck in the places that you're at. And here is one of the things that fascinates me, and which I've heard over and over. If you think of Paul and the life he was living up until that moment he encountered Jesus, Paul had no angst, we could call it, or apprehension, or feeling of uneasiness about what he was doing. He had no angst over his sin. He thought he was doing what he should. He didn't feel wrong about it. We have to get this. It's not how our gut tells us something is. It's what God's word says it is. And part of our life is training ourselves to see the world the same way that God sees it. Coming to understand or training ourselves in righteousness. It's like, maybe you don't know this, but I didn't eat very well when I was growing up. And most of that was my own doing. One story in particular, which I don't think I've ever told anyone, here at least, is that we used to have open hour during lunch when I was in high school. And as it was awesome for me, because every year they started advancing that, so you couldn't do it anymore. So my ninth grade year, I got to go out to eat lunch, but the next year the ninth graders couldn't. And the 10th grade year, I got to go out to eat, but the next year the 10th graders couldn't. I thought this was fantastic. So, but I always got to go out to eat, and I didn't have a lot of money. So I would go to certain places like Subway a lot or whatever. But one of the places I went nearly every week for lunch as a high schooler, I went to a place called For You Cinnamon Rolls. And I literally ate a cinnamon roll like this big for lunch, right? That was lunch. Cinnamon roll and a glass of water. That's it. Okay, now I was like super like into sports, so thankfully I probably burned this off. But that is terrible. If you're still eating a cinnamon roll for lunch on your own, there's something wrong with your nutritional values, right? I mean, that's not healthy. Fast forward a couple years, and I married someone who thankfully understands the value of nutrition. And so I started learning a little bit about what vegetables were and what fruits were and how to eat a little better, right? So we get married, we go a couple years into marriage, and I go home. And the first moment that the reality that something has changed in the way that I perceive food hits me when I go home. Because I go home and I go to a restaurant, if I remember correctly, that I liked, and I ordered something that I liked, that I used to love, actually. And my initial reaction to the thing is, when did they start adding so much salt to this? How did this get so greasy? And they're like, nothing's changed. Right? I've changed. Like, my perception of the food has changed. My understanding of what's in it, or even my appetite for it, has changed. It's that way for us with the Word of God. The more we come to trust in it, to step forward in it, the more our appetites change. We can continue on in life with our cinnamon rolls, not feeling any angst, or we can start to say, the Word of God says these things are things I need to start moving forward in, and these are things I need to start putting behind me. And as we do, we train ourselves to desire the things that God desires. Paul had to come to a moment where he realized that his gut, his natural feelings, or what he felt like doing wasn't always the right thing. And at times it was even sinful, that if he wanted the more God had for him, the breakthroughs, he had to start to agree with God and call sin sin. Forget it, put it behind you. The chains of sin will limit the best God has for you, and Jesus has made it not only possible to be forgiven, but to be free. Not only to be forgiven, but to be free. To step forward into all God has for us, we have to put the chains of sin behind us. It's going to be different for all of you, so I'll let you pray about that. But where in your life might sin be holding you back? Two, success. If we think of Paul, I think we could say pretty easily he had huge success. When Paul's writing this letter, we think he's in his late 50s, as far as we know. He came to Christ or had the Damascus Road experience sometime in his late 20s. So at this time, he's been following Christ for approximately 30 years. During those 30 years, he's been highly successful. He's planted churches. He's seen countless numbers of individuals come into relationship with Christ. He's become one of the lead apostles in the church. He's suffered. He's even been persecuted. I mean, he's very, very successful ministry. And at that point in his life, he's writing what we read a few minutes ago. At that point in his life, he's writing, forgetting everything that's behind me, I'm straining for what is ahead. And he wants the Philippian church to do the same thing, from all we can tell. When we look back at chapter 1 of Philippians, he says a couple prayers for them. He says, and this is my prayer, that you, your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I want you to continue to move forward so you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And a couple of verses earlier, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He's excited that God's begun a good work. That's a good thing. But he's hopeful that God continues it. He's pressing on. He's pressing forward. Paul is saying, we can't just rejoice in our trophies. We have to continue to look forward. I imagine nearly all of you, because of the state that we live in, or at least most of you, were probably watching a certain game yesterday. And if you were, there was a moment in the game. I was slightly watching the game. I didn't watch all of it. I watched most of it. But there was a moment when a stat came up on the screen about previous Super Bowl champions and the next season that they played. The stat essentially basically said, which you can all be happy, your Seahawks broke the trend. But the trend is that if you won the Super Bowl, for the last 10 years, for the next year, you lost your first playoff game. No one had broke the trend until this year, the Seahawks did it. Woo-hoo. Right?
Until next week.
Yes. So here's the thing. When you keep staring back at trophies, you lose track of what's ahead. You won't be hungry for the next game. It's true in sports, but you can take this and say it's true in your life. If it's a business, success in business can make us soft, so we don't care as much. We're not as passionate about it, and someone else steps ahead of us in the business world. In marriage, we can go through successful seasons of marriage, and we can start to rest in the past rather than serve each other each day, and we start to drift apart. It can be true for our finances. We follow a budget for a season, and we're highly successful managing our money, and then quite easily, in the course of 30 days, you can reverse years of progress. It's true in church. I'll quote Kevin Myers because I love the way he said it. As we serve Jesus, often churches who once existed to reach the people who are not there change to exist for the comfort of people who are there. They quit giving, serving, sacrificing, risking, inviting, praying as success lulls them into satisfaction. When you keep staring back at trophies, you keep looking back at all you've accomplished, you get passed up on the way to the finish line. God has more ahead of us, and we can be rejoicing in the things that have happened, and we should, but we can't stay stuck there. We have to continue to push past just our successes. Here's something from my heart to yours. Living Hope's not done. You're not done. There are fantastic things that I have seen happen in the lives of people in this room. Just in the last year, there are things that have happened in our churches in the last year. And our church has a history of tons of things that God has done for us. But he's not done. He's not done with you. There are things in your life, despite the previous successes, that God has for you. And if we just rest on what's happened before, we'll never step into them. Each of us has to do that personally, so collectively, as a church, we move forward, willing to put behind us the trophies of yesterday that we might step forward and stay hungry for what God has ahead. Where in your life are successes making you act or causing you to act like you're done? Are there places? God still has breakthroughs ahead for you. We have to put sin behind us. We have to put success behind us. Three, sorrow. This is a tough one, but the longer we live, I think the more aware we become that our world is really a place that is filled with sorrow. We all get wounded in life and in some form or another. From disease to death, from abuse to loss, there is much that is suffered in this world. And I don't enjoy making an example of myself in any positive way at a sermon, but I don't know how to explain sorrow apart from telling you mine, because all of ours are different. So I just looked back over my life and I saw these stories in my life. I remember being 13. I remember a certain night my parents' marriage starting to unravel and them arguing in my home so bad I ran across the street to my neighbors. I stayed with them that night, shortly thereafter to be split apart and live with my mom in my grandparents' home, eventually to divorce. I remember being 18, making my high school graduation and all the emotion and excitement of graduating, trying to balance that in that same week I lost my grandfather, the only one I was really close to, and I deeply loved, during that same week and having a funeral the day before my graduation reception. I remember dating an amazing woman I mentioned earlier who has far better nutritional skills than I. During those few years of dating during college, feeling a deep burden of sorrow that my addiction to pornography and my sins and my shortcomings, my impulsiveness that hurt her deeply. I remember our marriage just 2 years in, being nearly at the breaking point, literally a hair's breadth probably from ending in some giant ball of pain and hurt and sorrow. Deep hurt that I had caused my wife, deep hurt that she had caused. There have been sorrows in my life, there's been sorrows in yours, I'm sure of it. We live in a world that inflicts wounds on all of us. It's hard to grow up in this world and not get hurt in some way. But if we stay and nurse our wounds, if we nurse our woundedness for too long, we get stuck. In each of these things in my life that I listed, I'm thankful that God helped me get to a place of actually breaking through. I can tell you in each of those things, those were breakthrough moments in my life. Moments when God actually projected me further because I was able eventually to process the sorrow and move through. That would have never happened if I had stayed stuck in any of those moments. So I'll simply ask you, where are your sorrows? Where are the things that have hurt you? And are you starting to? Maybe it's not immediate, but maybe it's a process of putting them behind you so that God might help you break through to the things that are in front of you. Lastly, procrastination. I was hoping to put this one off until next week. I guess we'll have to do it now. This has to go on the list because for many of us, we're so good at putting off till tomorrow what could be done today. Essentially, when we procrastinate, we put less important things ahead of more important things. So instead of doing the thing that I feel God is leading me to doing or spending some time in His Word, I'll watch that show I want to catch up on, or I'll get distracted by the device that's in my pocket 24/7, or a million other things that we have in our world that can distract us. Putting lesser important things today, and putting off more important things for tomorrow. But if any of us have been a procrastinator, we know tomorrow rarely ever comes. It's always just another tomorrow. According to Dr. Joseph Ferrari, who's got an awesome last name, is associate professor of psychology at DePaul, and Dr. Timothy Peichel, who's also a psychology professor at Carleton, they did a study and they said this: 20% of people identify themselves as chronic procrastinators. They found 95% of people identify as procrastinators, 20% identify as chronic procrastinators. 20% of us chronically avoid difficult or important things and allow ourselves to be distracted by lesser important distractions. And those distractions really put chains that hold us back from all that God would have for us. It isn't a topic that needs a ton of talking. If you're a procrastinator, I've been one, I still sometimes am, you know you are, right? It's just a topic that needs more doing. Maybe today is the day that you start to have a change in your heart about this topic. Maybe today is the day you finally start to put it behind you. Again, it might not happen immediately, but today could be the day you start moving forward. A change to start putting the important things in your life first and the distractions later. To start chasing breakthroughs God has for you in your relationship with Him, for your marriage, for your friendships, for your career, for your character, for your impact on your community and those around you. Where do you need to put it behind you? Forgetting what is behind, Paul said, I'm straining toward what is ahead. We have to be always forgetting what is behind, putting the past behind us. Things like sin, success, sorrow, and procrastination. Where are those things present in your life today? Probably need some soul searching for you during the week and just say, God, will you open my heart to see where these things are active? And will you allow me to put them in the past? Will you allow me to start stepping forward with you and the breakthroughs you have for me? Let's pray. Father, sometimes when we dig deep on one topic or just a couple words in Scripture, it sure cuts to the heart, at least for me. There's so many things, God, that have been in the past that have happened which chain and shackle us down and keep us from stepping forward into what you might have for the future. So as we've talked about some of them today, will you free us from the burden and the shackle of sin in our life? If there are areas where we have not surrendered ourselves to the clear teaching of your word, will you just bring a deep sorrow to our hearts that we might repent of that, turn from it, and follow you in a new direction? Stepping into the breakthroughs you have for us. the more that you have for us. Will you allow us to see our past successes, but yet not just rest on them, but continue to press, continue to have a drive to see more and to go further and to advance your kingdom? Will you allow us to process sorrow? God, all of us have gone through times in life, in this world that are tough. And we long for the day, God, I long for the day when sorrow is no longer part of our world. And you promised that to us someday, but for now we live in a world that is full of it. So will you help us to process it, to be able, not to forget it, but to put it behind us and to step through the breakthroughs that you have for us, and help us just to not procrastinate about it. Let us keep important things first and distractions second. Father, we love you. We want to be like you. We want to serve and love you. We want to see your kingdom advance. Keep us hungry for that.